Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we talked to a band that has been putting out a song a week this year.
Well, you know what they say, a muffin can be very filling. All right, Patrick, one of the best things we've been doing lately is in these very hard times that we're going through. We've been gathering with, you know, some listeners and some other people every Friday virtually through the magic of Zoom and just like playing songs for each other. And we don't put that stuff on the podcast. It's just a thing that we do just for fun on the side, but it's attracted a lot of the podcast listeners. So that's just been very heartwarming in these troubled times, right?
Completely, Jim. And it's a fantastic way to blow off steam. And I think one of the most amazing things about it is the way it's developed completely organically, and all these people that we didn't know and sort of maybe had ancillary connections to have come into this thing and not only blown us away with their incredible musicianship, but just have made us feel really good, you know, at the end of a long, hard week. So,
Completely. So we call that the Friday Night Hootenanny, and people can come join us. Anybody can come and just listen if you want, or play music, what have you. We'll get you some information on that at the end of this episode. But the reason I bring this up on this show, which is called Rockin' the Suburbs, my name is Jim Lenihan.
My name is Patrick Foster.
The reason I bring that up now is because I would say probably the breakout stars of the Friday Night Hootenanny have been a band called Frank Muffin, and they'll explain to you sort of how they got involved in it, but they've been showing up with some regularity and playing songs, a lot of original songs, a cover here or there, and they've been so good and they've been so impressive and entertaining that we decided we should dedicate an episode of the podcast to Frank Muffin, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, absolutely. You hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
You know, they just have been so wonderful and, like you said, always surprising, and it just comes at a time in the Hootenanny where you're like, this couldn't get any better. And then all of a sudden, boom. Oh my God. It got 100 times better.
That's right. So, through the power of Zoom again, we have with us three members here of the band Frank Muffin, and we'll have them introduce themselves now.
Everybody looks at me or... Okay, I guess I'm in the middle. You don't know that, but this is Hans. I sing some of the songs and play some of the guitars. I've got Brittany to my left. You can say hi now.
I'm Brittany. I am the bass player. I do a lot of backing vocals as well and occasionally play the flute.
And then I am Joe, and I am the drummer as well as some backup vocals on the side.
That's great.
Great. Thank you, guys.
And where are you guys?
We're in the Lafayette, Indiana area.
Yeah, that's the home of the some team. A team that shall not go named, I think.
That's, probably for the best.
On this episode, if that's okay. We don't need to get into all of that right now. So tell us about your band, how you started, how you got together, and, you know, what are you trying to achieve musically?
So this has been about a 9+ year journey at this point. I don't think we were trying to be a band. We really weren't, because just we were so busy right off the bat. It was Hans and myself and another guy that we worked with at the time who just were invited to come do an open mic downtown and put together a few songs. We're going to try to play a bunch of Cheap Trick covers, and it just honestly, we weren't quite hitting the mark on some of those. But the other guy had suggested a few other tunes that we could play, and we went. And as soon as we were done playing our set, the crowd was asking when we were coming back and what we're doing. So we really haven't stopped playing since then, but it's kind of been just the last maybe 3 years or so we've really been expanding so much more and doing recording and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think to put that timestamp on it, it was Little Lion Man was the first song that we had did a different cover, and we realized that we like could sing some really cool harmonies together. And it was like,
and it was
this
a relatively new song at the time.
Yeah, that's what's your time on it, because that was new. That's scary. But yeah, it was really cool. And then we're just like, hey, we should perform this somewhere. And that's when that open mic thing happened.
Okay. And did you start recording fairly early on then in this 3 year period that you're talking about?
So our first album came out at the end of 2018. So we probably started the recording process early 2018. Yeah. Now Hans has been a songwriter for decades.
Again, saying how old I am. Thank you.
Sorry. A lot of those songs that we started playing, we kind of adapted and adopted into our own. So especially on the first album, that's where a lot of those songs had stemmed from, is maybe the revival of songs that could never be recorded or released before, a couple of new ones in the mix there, and then it's just been an ongoing process.
Yeah, I think I remember that conversation. We were playing at a little punk bar called The Spot, and I wanted to buy a Rickenbacker, and I kind of had the money set aside, and I said, you know, instead of buying this guitar, let's record an album. And they're just like, well, fine, if you want to spend your money on an album, that's great. Which then turned into, I want to put it on vinyl, and it cost a hell of a lot more than a Rickenbacker did.
So that first album is Forest for the Trees?
Yes.
Correct. Yes. Forest for the Trees was that first album. We did vinyl on that one. We also, of course, did CDs and the digital stuff for it. That was a really fun recording process. We actually had two studios in town that we're kind of friends with folks at. So we purposely kind of chose to do a half and half. So side one of the vinyl was all recorded at Studio 37. Yeah. Just some guys who have been long in the audio business and run sound at a number of local events around town had invited us to come and use their space. So we did half of it with them. And then the other half of the album, there's a studio in Lafayette called Sonic Iguana Studios. And if you've ever come across the band Squirt Gun, they had a song on the Mallrats soundtrack, for example. Huh. One of the members of that band is a big mixing and mastering engineer now and has worked with some extremely high named people in that punk world. So we did the second half with him.
Really cool. So before we play a song from that album, I guess, how would you guys describe what Frank Muffin is all about? How would you describe your sound to someone?
That's, I think, every musician's least favorite question. Thank you. I feel like what we bring to the table is a mixture, and it's not all at the same time. Like, one song might be very punk oriented, another song might be very just straightforward rock, and we've even got a few ballads more now than before that are kind of coming into the mix. But I feel like, just in general, a classic alternative pop, alternative rock, are and some indie elements kind of fall into.
I definitely grew up really liking Cheap Trick and a lot of those pop rock type bands. But then, you know, I have the urge to scream like Black Francis, but the vocal stylings of Michael Stipe. So I guess I can't really get it done.
All right. Well, why don't we let the listeners hear a little bit of Frank Muffin? They can decide for themselves. So what song should we play off of Forest for the Trees?
I think we'd like to kick it off with actually the first song we did at that punk studio, number 7, Diabolic.
Take a chance.
the muffins.
Yeah.
Very cool. It sounds like it could be right there on Dead Letter Office.
Totally, man.
Yeah, it does kind of have that vibe. Like maybe we spent a little too much time at the watering hole before that one, but we didn't.
I kid a little bit about the REM thing, but you brought it up too. So is REM a big influence on you guys?
It was with me, definitely. I mean, I think I came in to them probably with Reckoning. I don't think I picked up on Murmur, you know, or the Chronic Town right off the bat, but I mean, obviously retroactive, but only got to see them twice. I mean, I kind of think the last time I saw them was on the Green Tour with Robin Hitchcock opening, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of fell off a little bit after Out of Time, maybe. That happens, I suppose. Yeah.
I actually saw them once in West Lafayette.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. I drove
they only played
Bloomington.
Once in West Lafayette.
I got to remember this right. It was the Document tour.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been Document. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, they actually, I think they didn't sell out. And I heard that Stipe was kind of pissed about it. And they never played here again. That was the only time they played in West Lafayette.
Man, what a legacy for our town.
Right? Can't sell out for REM, man. We're great.
Tell people a little bit, too, about your instrumentation. So, like, when we see you guys a lot on Friday nights, often Brittany's playing, like, an upright bass. So, is that... Mm-hmm. That's not what you always play, right, Brittany? Is that just for some songs?
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's just hard to play some of the riffs. Like, what I did on Diabolik, there's no way I have the skills to do that on the upright currently. But I do enjoy it. I've had it for a few years, and I've really just kind of been teaching myself through that. I do electric on a lot of things, but I really love bringing the upright out. The crowd loves to see it when we are doing live shows.
It's a showpiece. That's
it's
for sure.
You know, visually, it's going to draw a few people in to be like, well, whoa, at least I want to hear what these guys, you know, have to sound like. So that's kind of it's a nice way to show off a little bit, I guess, in that front. But then there's definitely some songs that are just the perfect piece where the tone of it is the right choice. And so I really like having that as an option where I can choose either one, or when we're recording, I can do some of each on the same song.
Yeah, definitely. And it's amazing for those listening. I'll describe this wonderful area that we're looking at the band sitting in right now. And that's where we see them on the Friday Night Hootenannies too. It's just so comforting. And it's got the lamp there and the CDs and the vinyl. And, you know, it's got the organ back there and guitars hanging on the wall and the stand up bass and all this stuff. It gives you the impression that you guys have the flexibility to play it in those different tones, like you said, Brittany. And I guess one thing I was wondering today, Hans, when I was going through the records, and obviously we're going to talk about what you guys have been doing in 2020, which is really special, but kind of leading up to that, as a songwriter who, as Brittany said, has been working for decades, what is your writing process? Do you go a couple hours a day into a quiet room at a certain time, or is it something where you just catch a melody and grab a guitar, or you're in the shower, or lyrics, or like, how does it work?
Yeah, it's probably more like that. I can't remember the last time I've had a couple hours that I could just go anywhere. I mean, be quiet. So you've heard probably a lot of people, and this sounds so hacky, but you know, talk about like a muse situation. I mean, I don't know where things come from a lot of times. You know, I'll just pick up a guitar or something. I'll just be strumming along, and then you'll get just a couple of chords going, and then all of a sudden some words happen. And they might not be the right words by the end of the day, but you get that melody going and everything, and I'll just, you know, branch off that. It's most commonly a chorus, probably where things come from. But yeah, it's always just out of nowhere, it seems like. You have to just open yourself up for it, I suppose.
Yeah, just to jump in, I know you've said that, you know, you're more of a rhythm writer, where you get the meter of the song. You'll work up the melody of that song, and it might be nonsense words when it's created, just something to fill the syllables in the right way. And sometimes that stays. And other times that just gets scrapped entirely.
Yeah, I mean, the opening line.
The opening line of Diabolik was, I like crunchy peanut butter.
And it
fit.
That was great.
But I know there are some other songs that are slightly more inspired. But yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, I don't want to go anything against the Crunchy Peanut Butter Coalition, but it's not my favorite. I would go Smooth.
Yeah, you're dividing people right down the middle when you start with that.
Yeah, I don't want to start that debate.
And then is it a case where you'll bring that in some completed form and show it to everybody? Hans, or will you demo it? Or
I do like to demo it. Yeah, I do like to demo it usually. Yep. And it's partially probably because of a control freak thing that I don't like to admit. But I like to put together as much of it as I can, at least, so it's going to go the way I want it to go.
Yep.
But
yep.
I mean, this year, as like you said, we'll talk about it more later, I've done a lot where I'm just recording the acoustic and a vocal track. And then I'm leaving it more or less like that and saying, okay, where do we go?
Right.
And some things have went completely different than I would have expected. So it's kind of been
right,
cool.
Which is cool. Yeah, well, and it helps to have that arsenal of different tones and different things you can put on the song. I really like the description that's on your Bandcamp page that says, with roots in classical, contemporary, and alternative rock music. That really, to me, sums it up, because there are some kind of Baroque warm tones that you guys get into, for sure.
I mean, Brittany is classically trained-ish.
I'm a flutist. I'm a better flutist than I am a bass player, but I can't do flute and sing at the same time, so.
I don't know if anybody can.
That'd be a trick.
Yeah.
I mean, Ian Anderson tried.
I was a senior in high school, and I really just hit a point. I just wanted to learn an instrument that I thought was cooler than the flute. And so I picked up guitar. A friend showed me, you know, a few chords, and I took it from there. And well, he didn't really need another guitar player. He needed a bassist. So I just switched on over and then did bass in the pep band and jazz band in school poorly. But over the years, I've definitely come to hold my own a lot more in that, thanks to even Hans giving me some tips along the way. But at least it's something that I can sing along with. I can bring it out. And then lo and behold, when I do pick up the flute, people love that even more. So I guess it's almost cooler than I thought it was.
What is so striking about it is, I think I joked about this previously, is that you play the largest and the smallest instrument.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, I suppose piccolo technically would be.
Oh, I do that too.
But, yeah,
but you get what
too.
I'm coming at here. So.
Yep.
So it is interesting to see. You don't normally see that. You don't normally see the same musician playing something that just seems so incredibly different, right?
Right.
A completely different register and placement and sort of like the musical spectrum, right?
Yeah. And during load-in, I often question my reasoning there. But
yeah. So, Joe, what attracted you to these guys?
Actually, it's kind of a funny story how that actually all fell into place. I play for a piano man here in town, and we play every Friday and Saturday night. But these two guys came in after Jerome, the
other
member, our other guitar player, was actually playing with the piano man that night. The three of us were playing, and these two decided to walk into the bar and listen to me play. And after that, they asked me if I'd be interested to come check it out and see if it would fit, and ended up working out.
It almost sounded like a joke. Two muffins walk into a bar.
Essentially, yeah. But it's been a really fun ride. Like, when it comes to Hans's writing style, it's probably one of the things that I like the most, because like you said, he likes to have as much of the ideas he can complete, but I like to do everything I can to kind of ruin those things.
Yeah, he's a much better drummer than me, so
that's your job. Yeah, so like, challenge that, right?
Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun, like throwing wrenches at a stable matrix, so to speak.
Okay, so, and before we go with more music, where did the name Frank Muffin come from?
Yeah.
There's a handful of versions. This is probably the one we stick with.
The truest but, one.
It's the real
fairly accurate, I think, after the years of getting it confused. But Seth, our founding member who's no longer around with us, he's still alive. It sounded really weird to say it that way. But we were at a party. This guy who actually ended up owning a club here for a while, he asked us to come and see some band playing that was going through town, and Seth showed up at the party as well, and we'll just say he was under an influence, and he was giggling quite a bit that he drove by a road called Drury Lane, and he's like, I know where the Muffin Man lives. And he's like, the Muffin Man, his name is Frank, and his wife is Stella, and they have a kid. And he just like told us this whole story about the Muffin Man and his life. And so when we ended up doing that open mic a week or so later, the host said, so are you guys Hans and friends? I said, no, we're Frank Muffin.
Just to make him laugh.
And
there was no reason. It was not planned.
Then when we left stage, the guy said, so when's Frank Muffin coming back? I'm like, oh, shit.
What are you going to do?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
It's a great name.
I mean, at this point, I'll put a muffin on anything.
Yeah, I mean, we tend to put muffin logos on just about anything we can, so we're going to stick
with
it.
It's unique, and it's super memorable, and yet it just, like, getting to know you guys even just a little bit, it seems to somehow fit your spirit.
Yep.
Some
I was
going
to say the same thing. Yep.
So, a lot of people wanted to put us into the Zappa category because, you know, Frank Zappa had a Muffin Man song, but that's just coincidence.
Yeah. Now, just to cheese it up a little bit more, our wedding was about a year and a half after the band formed, or a year later, and we actually did have muffins instead of cake.
Nice.
And Frank Muffin was the first band
to perform. And Frank Muffin was the first band to perform at the reception.
Nice. I love that.
That's great. Okay, so tell us about the Year of the Muffin.
Yeah.
Year of the Muffin is a project that is, again, Hans's brainchild that then the rest of us stepped up to the plate to make it happen. And the dream was, and I know we weren't the first ones to do it, but I don't personally know anybody else who has, to put out one brand new original release every single week for the entire 2020 year. So we're working ahead so that we can get stuff back and mastered in time and everything. We're not starting from scratch every Monday or something like that. We did start tracking last summer and kind of working in chunks of 13 songs at a time because it's a baker's dozen. And that works out to be 4 volumes, 52 songs in total, which just rounds out the entire year real nicely. So we've just been kind of calling them volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4. So we are releasing them onto our SoundCloud page every single week and posting them up onto Bandcamp as well there. And then at the conclusion of each quarter, those songs are getting submitted into Spotify and the rest of the streaming services as well.
Got it.
Yeah, I think it's loosely inspired by the whole Sufjan Stevens. I think I'm going to go with failure because I think he wanted to do an album for every state. And I don't know how many he got through, but I only remembered hearing of Illinois, but I'm sure he's done a few. But yeah, I thought, you know, if we can get through this, then that'll be quite the accomplishment. And we're going to make it.
Yeah.
So my question on this is, you came up with this idea and started this project before the coronavirus pandemic.
Absolutely.
So how has that impacted this effort?
It changed some of our timeline a little bit with when we could do tracking, but we've still been really pushing to get the final bits and the production complete in time. I will say, I feel like we're lucky enough. We, so far, our area has not been a real hot spot. So even though there's been a lot of restrictions on places being open, we've never felt like we couldn't have somebody over to our house to track a guitar part or something like that, since we have a lot of the gear here and around. So because we're doing it in small quantities and, you know, we've been able to do a lot of the tracking here, it's still worked so
manageable.
Far. Manageable, yes. So definitely a challenge. I know for a little while we were wary that we might have to make some changes, and we didn't want to settle for not meeting that goal.
Yeah. All right. So you mentioned you. All right.
There's those dogs.
Maybe we can edit that out. I don't know.
No, we like that.
Turn that up.
This show is dog friendly.
That's right.
Okay, so you mentioned that you're putting out a song a week and people can find those on your SoundCloud page?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They're getting posted as early as midnight on Wednesday morning, or at least during the day, if not quite that soon, every single week. So
okay.
Yeah, and I think originally we wanted to be really snobby about it and we were only leaving the songs up for a week. So like basically if you didn't hear it, too bad until it came out. And then, I mean, I guess we just kind of gave up on that, thinking, well, we want people to be able to hear it, and it was more work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like another bit of that was the idea that coronavirus was kind of like locking us down. So having that extra exposure just as, oh, hey, like,
keep
guys,
listening.
Here's the full album, like, keep listening. I think that was a part of that decision, too.
Right, and you can get these on Bandcamp, too, folks, if you want to support Frank Muffin. I mean, a pack of 13 songs here for only $10 is a good deal. That's less than $1 a song, the way I add it up.
That's true. I mean, math's not even my strong suit, but yeah.
Me neither.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. People can get the collections, right? After 13 weeks, boom, another one.
I love that.
So volumes 1 and 2 are out.
Yes.
You know, it's collections. Yep. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. And volume 3, we're on week 9, I think.
Let's play something else for the peoples. Can I pick a song off of volume 1?
Sure.
I'll let you. Yeah.
I'll be curious to see what you pick.
Yeah, I'm curious too.
All right. And if you don't, you know, if you want to do a different one, then
I'm going to mentally guess and then see if
Oh, no, yeah, we'll see what it is.
All right.
There's a story my father told me. His father's father's grandfather's mom told him that we should be grateful to a man they called Nathan. His name was Matthew, but Nathan fit him best. The day Nathan saved the world, it was a beautiful thing. It was a wonderful, spectacular, marvelous, miraculous thing. And we rejoiced, and we began to write a song against our choice about that story my father told me. I'm sure it's changed a million times, but that's just what he said. Nathan, the town of Bismarck, went around petting cows and pulling babies' arms. He got arrested one Sunday morning for selling prophylactics one day after church. Sorry, that's not the story. I swallowed and forgot my train of thought. The day Nathan saved the world, it was an edible thing. It was a precious, delectable, scattered and collectible thing. Then we retain all of the Nathan that sure it's changed a million times since then. That we should be grateful to a man they call Matthew. Whoops, I mean Nathan, cause my father's father's grandfather's mom told me so. The day Nathan saved the world, it was a beautiful thing. Spectacular, marvelous, miraculous thing. And we rejoice. Now the song is overrun against our choice.
I just love that song, The Day Nathan Saved the World.
Yeah, it's great. Totally
it's great. It's very witty, and
his name was Matthew.
Actually Matthew, right?
Yeah, we kind of deemed it was the greatest story never told, because it really doesn't ever say what's happening. But yeah, I mean, tearing down, I guess, a fourth wall there. The origin of that one goes way back to when I was a student at Purdue. And me and one of my friends used to study at the undergrad library, and that usually meant we left after about a half an hour and went and grabbed quarts of Miller Lite at the VP. And we'd sit in his apartment and just kind of, you know, screw around writing some songs. And that one stuck, because that was really just funny. We just kind of lyrics back and forth. I had to add an extra chorus now, because we were missing things to try to make it a real song. So we added another chorus when we did it here, and added a lot of different instrumentation. I mean, I played banjo and lap steel, and Jerome played a melodica. I mean, we had a lot of weird stuff going in on this one.
Yeah, it's our little Zydeco.
You might have thought you were going to go for Let's Get Drunk and Sing Old Irish Folk Songs. That's a favorite of mine.
That's a good one, too. We could.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's, I mean, that's kind of funny, too, because Brittany really wanted to do that. That was actually also from that same era of me going to study. That's a weird scenario. But
Well, I think it says something about my attempts at academia, perhaps. My attempts often involve quarts of beer.
Brittany wanted to put it on the record. I'm like, I don't know that we can do that in these times, you know? And I think that, you know, we are more woke than this doesn't feel right. And I said, you know, tell you what, if you can get an actual Irish person to sing on this, then I'm okay with it. And she did.
Yep.
Fantastic.
She did.
Yeah, he's an actual touring Irish musician who comes through here every once in a while.
He's become a good friend of ours now. Shout out to Brendan Lowry, who performs a lot around the Illinois, Indiana area, and, you know, maybe even further. But we really just went to one of his shows, introduced ourselves, and said, hey, we've got a job for you. And he loved it. He was totally on board. And so one of the times when he was traveling through performing in the Lafayette area at the local Irish pub, he usually stays in town when he plays. So we just had him come out here the next morning, and then he did another show that Saturday night, and we put it all together. So,
oh, that's awesome.
We're really grateful for his help on it. It made it a whole lot of fun. And yeah,
it's cool to learn more about this too for all our listeners. As we said, you know, we've started to know Frank Muffin a little bit, at least in the, you know, Hans and Brittany duo kind of form.
The mini muffins.
And it's really cool to learn that a lot of this goes back. So you're kind of going back and finding stuff that, you know, either stuck with you for one reason, or you never recorded it. Or I love it when people go back and pull pieces of art, whatever it is, that somehow kind of stick around or, you know, have merit, but for whatever reason never got quote unquote finished at the time. Like, I think that's so cool. And I think, you know, just messing around a little bit with music myself, I think there's so many things that you wish, like, oh man, should have done something with that, or I can't believe I forgot that riff, or, you know, whatever happened to that idea. I think it's cool that some of this stuff is older and it's being, you know, sort of brought forward and added new verses to it, or whatever the case may be. But that's really interesting and really cool.
Yeah, thanks. I probably wrote, you know, hundreds of songs by the time I was 25. It's like the Bruce McCullough Kids in the Hall sketch. I did all my heroin by grade 8. You know, I felt like I may have peaked, but I mean, I still write. I definitely wrote a lot. So it's like, when I go back there and I'm just like, you said, it's like, that was really cool. And I mean, yeah, maybe it's a little dated, so you kind of put a twist on it to bring it up to speed.
So that's what I was going to ask, though. Did this challenge to yourself to be able to record a song a week, did that sort of force you to go back and go into your archives, right? And dig out some stuff maybe that you
definitely I think I wanted
to rework or redo. Yeah,
I was kind of hoping maybe to had a few more newer ones than maybe we did, but at the same time, yeah, it's like there's so many really cool ones that I'm just like, oh, I forgot about that mm-hmm. You know, and start like putting them back together, and it's, if nothing else, a nice purging catharsis on some of these things.
Well, and with that, I feel like we had most of our list kind of rounded out to get everything on there, and we just started listening through one more time before we started filling gaps with new ones, and just one or two of them came up that it was like, how did we miss this? We have to do this one. This one's so good.
That's cool.
And then now that we're either have already released that one or still working on some of them for the upcoming final volume, it's just like, wow, I can't imagine doing this project without that song. It's one of the best.
Yeah, totally. And it soothes the OCD part of my soul, too. I feel like it's good. Everything's gotten attention. So that's a nice thing.
Now, you guys were doing some crowdfunding, right, for this project?
We had been, yeah, to help cover the mastering costs and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. We were successful in both of our crowdfunding attempts so far. So there's not an active one that I can plug, but we will always take support from our fans. We definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, yep. There you go.
Definitely opportunities to buy the record. And if somebody doesn't see what they're looking for, they can always shoot us a message or an email, because we are going to be releasing a box set of all four of the Year of the Muffin discs for folks who like physical copies.
Yeah.
I'm worried that's going to be too pricey for vinyl on that one, but we'll definitely have the CDs available. In fact, my mom texted me today because she didn't know how to download them and she needed my help for it, and she was worried that she wasn't going to get a CD, and I explained that we, you know, have to wait till they're all out, but we are getting some so she can listen when she's in her sewing room and all that stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
So how exciting will that just be for you to have that completed, you know, box set, right? That's going to really feel like an accomplishment.
I feel like that's a question for you, Hans.
I mean, it should be a question for you because you haven't had to say much, but I mean, it's no, it's definitely going to be an accomplishment. Very cool to have all of that done and wrapped up. I don't think we're going to sit on it, though. I mean, I think
it kind of puts the final crumble on the muffin, don't you think?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, this isn't going to be the end. Yeah, this isn't like our swan song, so to speak. You know, it's just hopefully if things settle down with this whole pandemic, we can actually go out and promote this next year. That's a big hope, that we can have a tour of the muffin, so to speak, and kind of bring this out to the public. At risk of being too foreshadowing, we're planning on recording a lot of those shows and maybe putting out a live version of it in 2022. Of the greatest hits.
Great. Love it. How often were you guys playing out before, you know, the world changed?
Not as much as we'd like.
A lot of us are still day job folks who do as much music as we can on the side. So, yeah, we're talking a few times a month, mostly around our area, but it's just kind of given us that time to focus on honing in the craft a bit and getting these things recorded out there to get that foundation built really well so we can do a lot more branching out as soon as we're allowed to.
When we brought Joe on board, his focus is to be a professional musician. Even more so than we were. So I think it's going to kind of help. Hey, we have a guy who's willing to leave town to play gigs now. You know, it's just like,
let's do it.
It's like, because we've always had at least one person, you know, nothing against them, because every band member's been great and they're still family. But there's always been somebody who, for some reason, sometimes it's maybe even me, but, you know, I can't go. I've got a responsibility, you know?
Right.
And so. Now that
just had a baby.
Joe did just have a baby. He is
his wife just had a baby.
It would be your news you would have heard if he just had a baby. But
well, you got to watch out for Joe, I'm sure, when he gets on the road, man. Those drummers, when they start getting on tour.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Falling off the drum stool.
Yeah, Keith Moon it.
Perfect. Is there any other way?
But yeah, like overall, this whole Year of the Muffin's been a kind of a cool project for me specifically, because I feel like I've been on like a lot of actual records. Like I have quite a few bands that I've worked on in the past. Like when I was in high school in Viscerae. Like, I have a record from that. I have a record from Bobby Maroney Trio. There's a couple bedroom sessions we did that were just like little EPs. Like, I'm well versed in the studio, and I feel like this project has been like really fulfilling because it's like, ooh, like we get to do all these projects back to back to back to back. And like, now I have to figure out how to be creative within a week or within a month and not be stale over the course of those four albums. Like, that's pretty hard. So yeah, that's been the kind of fun challenge for me, I guess, is because like I've got a lot of background in that, but this is a new challenge in this familiar place, I guess.
Totally. And how do you remember all those parts? Like, how do you remember what you're doing like on every single song to go back and play and play them live? That's a challenge.
And that's funny like that you bring that up, because like we had a couple shows this last couple weeks or this past couple
weeks. Yeah, a couple
weeks.
Outdoor shows we actually were able to do, which is crazy.
Oh, nice.
And we did a couple of these new tunes, and it was funny. We're kind of like standing around the practice room like, oh, how did that go again? Like, wait, right. Wait a minute. Wait, what did we do? Yeah. So there's a little bit of that always. I mean, especially with 52 songs, I'm sure there's going to be more.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's nothing that we can't overcome.
Or that is a problem for the live version to continue to evolve. Even in a different way.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Yeah, no reason you gotta be like the Cars and play your live show exactly note for note like the record you made. So.
Right. Okay, so where is the best place for people to go to learn more about Frank Muffin?
On social media, I'd say we are most active on Facebook than some of the others. And we are, I think, the only Frank Muffin on Facebook. We do have an Instagram as well, Frank Muffin Band. And we've actually got a website up and running. So if they go to frankmuffin.com, they're going to get even more.
Okay. Sweet. And also, as Patrick mentioned, go to frankmuffin.bandcamp.com.
Yep.
Yes, please.
That's a good place to find all the great music. But you can also, on the major streaming services, you can find the completed volumes as those are available too.
Yep.
So that's how you roll. All right.
Very cool.
Great. Well, thanks very much for hanging out with us this evening.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's been fun.
We really appreciate
it. Absolutely. I mean, I think not only based on the music that we have played, samples of tonight and samples of on this podcast, but also what we've kind of seen on these hootenannies. And you know, just real quick, if anybody wants to learn how you could see Frank Muffin play a little bit, all you have to do is go to suburbspod.com, right?
Join us
and
on
sign
Fridays.
Up for our free newsletter. It comes every Friday, and there's a link in there to our hootenanny. And it's, let's just say, really low key. I mean, there is no pressure on anybody to do anything on these.
Bring your own bourbon.
So,
yeah, I mean, I usually get there by the third hour, and you guys are a little more, I guess, welcoming.
Relaxed.
That's why it's always so great. It's like, oh my God, here they are.
That's right.
I was floating for a minute there, and now they're here to anchor me, which is great. And just, you know, if you want to get a sample of these guys, I'll just say, if you like this podcast and the stuff we talk about, you're going to like Frank Muffin's music a lot.
Totally.
There's a lot to dig into. It's varied. All the influences I think you'll recognize and feel good about. And man, it's just right in the wheelhouse for us. So it's just been such a thrill to have them come across our radar, get to know them a little bit, and just be blessed with seeing them play so
it's
many.
It's great. So and they're so cool talented. Ones. And, you know, you can hear all this music, and I encourage people to do that. But like you said, it's one way to see some live music from some accomplished musicians. Yeah. Come in on Friday. They come on just about every Friday lately. I don't want to put any pressure on you guys.
We'll be there this week.
Like,
I know that.
They come quite a bit and perform, and they'll play some of these songs. And then sometimes they'll play like a cover where they'll sing in German. You know, all kinds
that
of stuff.
Happens.
You know, you never know what the Muffin is going to pull out, right?
So, man, yeah. Some of the covers they've done are really amazing.
This Friday will be fun. 70s theme, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's going to be great. And also, you know, what I think is cool too is the way you guys, you know, Jim and I came into this knowing you guys only from the Hootenanny, and then to go and listen to your records. Like, I listened to everything today just as I was working and preparing. And it's such a very different approach, and great to meet Joe and kind of understand how this whole quartet works. So really a treasure that I think a lot of our community would really like.
I totally agree.
Nice to meet you too, guys.
The check will be in the mail. Thank you.
No, all we ask is for you guys to keep it up. You know, keep the music coming. That's all. And
that's right.
It seems like you love doing that.
Well, I figure if I can get all our albums out before we're discovered, then we'll be fine.
And someday when people are allowed to travel again, you know, we'd like to get together. I think that'd be great.
That would be awesome.
We want to put something together where we could get listeners together and maybe you guys could play. So I think
the tour of the Muffin can make a stop wherever we can.
Yeah. We need to go to New York or wherever you let us know.
Yeah.
Well, another great thing about our hootenanny is when we enter the third hour, we start hatching plans that are probably way too ambitious for anything we can pull off.
I don't know anything about ambitious plans.
That's right. I think somebody already slotted you in on the bill somewhere.
That's right. You may have already signed something that you don't know.
I think I saw a poster.
Perform live, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks very much. It's Frank Muffin, everyone. Yay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys so much.
Like I said, we encourage everyone to go check out their music.
Yep.
Check them out playing live. If you want to come in on Fridays, go to suburbspod.com, click on newsletter, sign up for the newsletter. You'll get the link. We also put the link up on some of our social media, or you can DM us on the social media. We'll get it to you that way as well. But it's every Friday, and come check them out. It's really fun. So
yeah.
We'll all right, what else? Anything else, Patrick?
No, I don't think so. I've gushed enough. I feel like they're going to start not believing me.
But
it's all from the heart.
And on top of them putting out good music, they just seem like good people, too. And
absolutely.
That's what makes it. That's why we want to support them even more. So thank you. All right. This show you're listening to, it's called Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
With us has been Hans, Brittany, and Joe from Frank Muffin. And what song should we play out with, guys?
Oh, jeez.
Do you want to do off of volume two? Did you want to do Solitude? Two?
Oh, yeah, we can.
Let's do that.
Okay. Yeah, that one's going
to
be different
still.
You
got to at least get to the weird part in the middle where there's 800 harmonies.
The weird part in the middle.
All right, here we go. And we'll talk to you guys later.
I sit in a chair and I stare in the air. I talk to myself because there's nobody there. Myself is always ready with an answer. I can always depend on myself as a friend. And as long as I'm conscious, the talk never ends. Sometimes I think I'm more than I could ask for. All alone and why? All alone and why? All alone and why? All alone and why? It's a quarter to eight in my normal sleep state. I stare at the wall and the wall's doing great. I wonder what it'd be thinking if it were thinking. I walk up to it and I look in its eyes. I'd ask it a question but get no replies. At least I could say I gave it a try. All alone and why? All alone and why? And all alone and why? All alone and why? Talk to myself because there's nobody there. Myself is always ready with an answer. All alone and why? All alone and why? Yeah, all alone and why? All alone and why? Was it worth it to me? All living and alive in a rhythm and rhyme. Went through much in a while. The time was a fine time. I used it well, and I soon I'll find that everyone that I've loved was sane. Standing out in the pouring rain, you feel the pain. I feel the pain every time it rains, and all the trauma that seems to face. Stand ashamed of a lot of trace. I lost my face, but I'll keep my guard up just in case. Rosemary. Was it worth it? I'll live it alive in a rhythm and rhyme. Couldn't do much to you about the time. Was a fine time. Use it well, but I'll soon I'll find that everyone that I thought was sane. Standing out of the pouring rain, can you feel the pain? Feel the pain every time it rains, and all the trouble that soon be faced. Vanishing without a trace, I lost my face. My guard up just in case. Rosemary and sage and a power and rage. Wanna learn more so you turn the page. Was it worth it to you?
Arnold Schwarzenegger, was it? No, that was
Dude, <it's Abba. laughs>